This is the Moon Mason Experience. I'm Moon Mason, and today my guest is adult film actor Brad Newman. Welcome, Brad. Thank you for being here.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
So Brad and I met at a yoga class at the gym, and it's probably one of the hardest yoga classes out there in West Hollywood. And we just kept seeing each other. The classes, I think it was two times a week, so we saw each other quite a bit. And eventually I found out what he did, and just talking to him here and there. And so now he's on the show, and I'm sure a lot of people are interested in what he does. I feel that most people probably contemplated doing what he's doing. So let's get into it. Cool. So what were you doing before you started this career?
So out of college, I started booking work as an actor. I actually booked like my first five auditions that I went to. I studied theater as an undergrad at University of South Carolina and at IU Indiana University. But I didn't really think about pursuing it full time. But I was just trying to make extra money out after college. So the third thing I booked was a Sci-Fi Channel film with Kevin Sorbo. And I ended up doing mostly commercials and industrials for about 3 years. Industrials are like training videos for companies like Marathon Oil, you know, where they like will train their new employees. I'd be the guy in the video like doing the shit. So I ended up getting agents in seven states in the Midwest. I worked full time for about 3 years. So I joined SAG and I thought, you know, I'd go out to LA and I figured I could at least get on a soap opera. But once I came out to LA, nothing really seemed to work for me. I got in like some good acting school and I was taking acting classes and I got some agents and they were getting me auditions here and there, but nothing like significant like I was doing in the Midwest. So kind of make a long story short, I ended up running out of money and I ended up borrowing money from my mom 1 month to pay rent. And she's like, can't do this again. You know, this is the only time I'm going to do this. So then the next month I ended up paying rent with my tax return. And I was like, am I going to have to get like a real job with my degree? I figured I was going to have to drive for Uber or do something to try to make ends meet while I'm trying to make this acting thing happen. So I was at Equinox in West Hollywood on a Sunday night and I saw this girl and I recognized her. Her name's Nicolette Shea. And she's like a really famous girl in the business. She has a couple million followers on Instagram. And I ended up introducing myself to her and we ended up going across the street to get food at Sweetgreen's. She was like, hey, I'm staying down the street. Can you take me back to my place? And I was like, cool. So I took her back and she was like, do you want to come in? And I was like, sure. You know, and one thing led to another. She was like, she asked me if I want to do it. And I thought she meant, do you want to fuck? And I was just trying to fuck her because I thought this would really boost my confidence and I would be able to like go into auditions with a new set of confidence. But she meant, do you want to get into the adult industry? So she made a couple phone calls and got me a meeting with an agent. And I met with him like the next day and he kind of laid it all out for me. And I figured I would regret not taking the opportunity. You know, I would always wonder what might have happened. And I could support myself and, you know, take care of my mother. And so I decided to roll the dice and here we are.
So you weren't even contemplating doing it. It was all based on this connection with I'm sorry, I forgot her name.
Nicolette Shea.
Okay, Nicolette Shea.
Yeah, it just was like a perfect storm of circumstances that led me here.
But had you thought about it in the past?
Yeah, I guess so. I think every guy kind of thinks about it, but I don't know. I grew up pretty Christian. I went to church a lot growing up and, you know, they always kind of made you feel bad about sexual natured things and like impulses. And I was kind of, you know, I was like, well, I'd be ashamed doing this. And then I got to thinking like, honestly, what do I love to do? And like, what would I do if money was no object? And those kind of questions made me feel like I could live a happy life doing this, you know? And I don't personally really, I don't think anything I'm doing is wrong. You know, I'm not like breaking the law or, you know, stealing from people. But I feel like, you know, honestly, I would rather do something like this that was filled with more passion and love than play like a murderer on TV. I feel like it's funny how our society, we're cool with, you know, killing people and stuff like that, like heinous acts, in mainstream media, but what I'm doing is kind of fringe still. You know, I feel like that's kind of counterintuitive to me.
It's like all the censorship, and it's kind of how you're raised, or how, especially in America. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's a lot of issues that makes it look, people look down upon it, but I don't judge people. I mean, I make sure I know somebody before, like, even making any kind of conclusion. But so.
Yeah. And I feel like times are changing. You know, it seems like 10 years ago, UFC was not mainstream at all, but people have kind of come around to it. And I feel that's kind of happening with the adult business. I feel like people are starting to become more accepting. It's starting to be less fringe. The only thing that's kind of weird to me is how they have all these unnatural themes. You know, it's like stepdaughter, stepdad, yada, 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 you know? So I haven't really wrapped my mind around all that, but, you know, I try to kind of steer away from stuff that I'm not really comfortable with. Like, I'm not really like a sadist. I don't like hurting people, you know? So it's not really the type of, you know, adult work that I would be interested in doing. So it's been nice that I got good representation, and I can kind of steer my career in a certain direction that I feel comfortable with than just like doing whatsoever, you know?
So you're doing some stuff on your own though too, right?
Yeah.
Like, so the stuff that you're doing, what percentage of the stuff are you getting booked for through agents where you kind of have to go along with their story? And also, do they have a story that's kind of already set out, or they kind of just like, how is it like? I don't know.
You know, honestly, it's about 50-50. I feel like, you know, I'll get booked by big companies to do stuff like stepdaughter, stepdad, you know, and a lot of times I've taken those roles because I feel like it's good for my career, and you know, it's acting to me, you know, and that's what I'm classically trained in. You know, like I've done a couple things that were like very acting intensive, and I feel a sense of like fulfillment getting to still act in those terms. But then the other half is usually stuff that's a little less acting intensive, but it's usually a little bit more vanilla. Like I just did a scene where I am at a wedding, and I meet this girl that's kind of like not wanting to be there, and we kind of run off and, you know, hook up, you know, and it's like, it's more romantic and passionate. And that's kind of the stuff that, you know, really tickles my feathers. You know? So it's really about 50-50.
And then, so when you do your own content, do you try to incorporate some of the acting or some sort of scenario or story, or do you just, what do you normally do?
You know, maybe like, maybe 10, 20% of the time there'll be a story incorporated, but usually it's just like, you know, Gonzo, we just kind of, just do it naturally. You know, I just set up a camera and I turn it on and I don't cut, and I just let what happens happens. And it seems like it's the most real when I do it like that. You know, I feel like when we're setting up a story, it's usually like some last minute stuff, and, not everyone's like all into the ideas of the story. So I feel like it can be kind of half-assed sometimes, but when I just turn the camera on, you know, it's like someone that we've agreed to shoot the content together. So we're obviously attracted to each other. I feel like there's a lot more natural feel to that. And I think it comes off a little bit better.
So how do you handle when you are booked on a scene or booked through a company and you're not attracted, or how do you handle that?
When I'm not attracted to the girl?
Yeah.
Well, that's where the magic comes in. You know, I feel like that's the hardest part about being a male performer, is you have to work with a variety of girls. I don't always get to pick and choose who I work with, you know?
Do you know who you're going to be working with before you take the job?
You know, I usually will get the call sheet the night before, you know, which is different in mainstream. You know, you get a lot, you get like weeks, months even to work on a script, you know, and I can develop a character. But a lot of times I've gotten it the night before, and I've even shown up on set and it's been someone else, and I'm like, wow, you guys could have told me that. Or it's like they turned it into a scene and they have added another guy, and I'm like, wow, that kind of changes the dynamic. you know? So,
so how do you actually, that was one of my questions. How are you with other doing it, this whole thing with, other men in this situation?
I feel like it's kind of like a muscle. You develop it over time. I don't think anyone's like naturally good performing with multiple people at first, because you don't really have a lot of practice in real life. Like, I may have had two or three threesomes with girls before the business, and maybe two or three threesomes where there was another guy, you know? So I feel, and when you add the camera and you have a crew of people and there's pressure on you to do certain positions on a certain piece of furniture or a washing machine or whatever the scene calls for, and then you need to come at a certain time, you know, I feel like those things can kind of add up. And that's kind of like what separates the great from the good and the good from the bad. You know, it's you have to have a focus, you know, you have to focus on what turns you on. You know, it seems like I can usually find something about a girl that I like, you know, whether it's personality or physical. And sometimes you get on a set and you think you're going to have great chemistry with a girl who's really attractive, and she turns out to just be like completely a bitch, or she's full of herself and egotistical, and those things can turn you off quickly, you know, and that affects your wood. So I find that I usually do best when I can get the girl to come to me and I'm not trying to pursue the girl before the scene, or, you know, have too much conversation, because it can kind of turn for the worst, if you know what I mean.
Really? So you prefer, sometimes you think just like not having had any conversation and just going right into it?
And so if it calls for it, I mean, it's always different. And that's, you have to develop that kind of emotional intelligence to know what's going on, because you got to think the other person might be having a bad day. You know, they might have a boyfriend. I've had a girl that had a boyfriend sitting in the car in the driveway of the house we were shooting at, you know, and sometimes they're fighting, or sometimes the director wants to fuck the girl even worse than you do. And you're like, wow, it's getting kind of weird that everyone's flirting with the girl I'm supposed to be fucking, because I'm the one that's supposed to be fucking here, guys, you know? So it's kind of like mental gymnastics. You've got to kind of be like water and be able to adapt to whatever the situation calls for.
That's so interesting. So how often do you work like on a typical, well, hold on. So when did you start doing this?
A little over 2 years ago.
Okay, so a little over 2 years ago, and then like, did it start off slow, or has it always been pretty good and consistent, or?
Well, I was told by a couple people in the business who are pretty legitimate that I got off to like the fastest start a guy's ever got off to. My second month in, I did like VR, and I did a scene for Brazzers, and usually guys don't do virtual reality or Brazzers until like 3 or 4 years into the business. I've performed with around 210 girls so far in 2 years.
Wow. That's a lot.
I've had 5 reverse gangbangs where I've done 3 girls at the same time.
Wait, what? What's a reverse
gangbang? So a reverse gangbang is where it's multiple girls and one guy.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I did watch some of your stuff like for the first time.
Oh, you did?
I watched like a good handful of things. I was like, but I enjoyed most of them was watching you do the acting, because I was like, I thought it was cool, like watching you act more. I mean, just because I know you.
You know, that's actually how I kind of got off to such a fast start, because the first month I was an extra. So I was like the guy going door to door selling newspapers, or I was the car dealer at the casino, or I was the security guard at the front door. And so these directors would be like, wow, you're a really great actor. And I'm like, well, that's why I was trying to be an actor, you know? So then they would bring me on to perform, and I kind of got in really quick because of my acting skills, which is nice. You know, I foresee doing more acting intensive things as my career develops, and even possibly, you know, doing more mainstream stuff. I wouldn't rule that out. I'm considering even writing my own stuff and going into my own productions. So thank you very much. I appreciate that you look so favorably upon my acting.
Wait, so you mean when you first got into the industry, you mainly got booked for extras kind of stuff within the industry?
Well, yeah, because no one's, seen your dick or knows if it even works, and they don't know if you can perform. So the way you get in is you get booked as an extra, and then you kind of got to befriend people and get them to bring you back. So if you do a good job as an extra, they're likely to bring you back.
So pretty much anybody who's an extra in an adult film wants to actually be an adult act, like do the full deal.
Yes.
Oh, I never thought about it like that. Did it just do?
Very rarely is an extra not an adult performer. Very rarely. I think because it's just it's something that's kind of out of the box. You know, you can get kind of put into a category by being involved in these. So a lot of mainstream people wouldn't want to do the extra work in the first place, or even know about it or have the opportunity to, you know, so.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about like what you do to prepare, or like your diet or your workout routine, because I know you work out a lot. And yeah, tell me a little bit about what you do to stay in shape and diet and what you prepare for a scene.
Well, recently what I've been doing is I get up around like 4 or 5 a.m. and I'll do like 3 or 4 miles. I've been doing that fasted. And then I usually try to lift weights in the evening for a couple hours. Before COVID, I was doing yoga every day. I was doing that. I was doing the steam room. I feel like those things kind of helped me handle stressful situations, because I feel like a lot of the talent comes in being able to handle stressful situations. Because you never know what's going to, lights are going to go out. You might be on set for 10 hours and then they want you to be like that, ready to perform, you know? So you kind of got to manage stress. And I feel like those things help me through it. Also flexibility. There's like a technique to performing. It's called opening to camera. So they want to see penetration. And typically the way the body works, you can't really see penetration because like the hips will get in the way or your arm. So you kind of have to have a third eye awareness of where they're filming from, and being able to twist your hips and your legs open so they can see it actually going in and out. And a lot of times, you know, you're like in Warrior II, you know, and that's just not the way normal people have sex, you know? So there's like a gymnastics element to all of it.
So what about, okay, so what's your diet consist of?
I do a lot of fruits and vegetables. I don't eat that much meat anymore. I do a lot of blueberries. I'm probably like 60% blueberries. Beets. I've been eating a lot of beets. I found that zinc helps you produce more semen. So I try to like always have some zinc coming in me. And, you know, I take, vitamin D, vitamin C, multivitamin, stuff like that.
So what if like you don't have a lot of semen? Like, are they like, dude, that wasn't a good like calm?
No, no, they're not. They're never like that when that happens. But it's interesting. I haven't been able to figure out a pattern to my semen production. Like, I've had great shots that were like my second pop. I've worked with girls and given a second pop and had a great shot. Or like, I've saved up for days and then just had a weak one, you know? It's just like, I haven't been able to figure out exactly and dial it in to make it like mathematical, but I feel like that's part of the process that I've been going through, because you need to figure out what works best for you. Everybody's different. And the first year is kind of like trial and error. You're like, you know, should I eat this before? How much should I eat before? When should I eat, etc. You know, so
there's no like secret, like porn star tricks to getting a lot of semen coming out? The zinc is good?
No, I mean, I wish I knew. If I had figured that out, then I would be another step ahead. But that's, I guess, my next frontier of learning.
I mean, I have to admit, like, it's definitely, just having sex alone, it is nicer to have a lot more come out, but it's not like, it's horrible if it's not a lot, but.
What I have found is like a lot of times if a girl is on her period and she has a sponge in to like keep the blood from coming out is what they do. Mm-hmm. The sponge will absorb the semen. So if you do a cream pie, nothing comes out. It looks like you shot nothing. So that's something I kind of learned along the way. Another problem I ran into one time was I did a scene outside and there was mosquitoes around. And this girl's like, oh, let's put this bug spray on. So we put the bug spray on, and then we're in BJ and she's going down on me and she goes, oh my God, my mouth's getting numb. And I was like, oh shit. It's got from your hands to my dick into your mouth. And then my dick went numb. And so I was having trouble staying hard. And that's one of the most embarrassing things when you're a male performer. If you're not like on edge, you know, you want to be at 100% all the time. It's funny, like you almost feel like emasculated if you're only at 90, you know? It's weird how that works. So it's something that you kind of have to learn along the way. Now I know never to use any bug spray. Just let the bugs bite me, I guess. Another thing I ran into is they'll use like fake cum for the pictures. So a lot of times you'll do the dialogue and then they'll cut and then you'll shoot pictures. So it'll kind of be like a dry run, like a dry rehearsal of what positions you're going to go through. And as they're shooting the pictures, they'll do like a picture at the end where it looks like you came. And there's this stuff called spunk that looks like cum, but I found it will make my dick numb. So I've had them like try to put it on my dick for the pictures. And then I go into the actual scene and my dick's numb. It's not working 100%, you know? And then you kind of feel like a chump. So these are like little things that you learn along the way. And I feel like, you know, probably around the end of year three, I'll probably start to hit my stride. Because I find that in real life, you're the best at something after you've done it about 1,000 times. So I feel like after 1,000 days of being in the business, I'll have a lot of this stuff figured out. So I'm like 2/3 of the way there right now.
So like during a shoot, how much of that time are you actually having sex? And then how much time, like, is there a lot of breaks or?
It depends. So usually it's between 30 minutes and an hour. And
actually doing it?
Yeah. Okay. And usually they shoot it straight through. I mean, you're allowed to cut if you need to. I find if I don't have to cut once or twice, I'm not really trying, you know? Like I find I need to really put my whole self out there and I'll have to call cut if I do that. And that's when I find my best scenes are, is if I've had to cut a couple times. If I can shoot the whole way through, then I usually didn't put it all out on the table and I left a little bit, you know, in the tank. But then sometimes I've done scenes where, you know, the girl's blowing you in the shower and you almost get caught by someone. And then you cut and then you're like in the living room and you know, you're doing another like sexual act and then you almost get caught and they cut. And so those are hard days when you have to be up and down and up and down and up and down, you know? Yeah. So it kind of depends, but most of the time they shoot it just straight through.
Okay. So how many people are usually on set on the camera, like the cameraman and all the assistants and everything?
Probably about 5.
But then when you do your own, is it just, do you have your own camera or how do you do it when it's you?
Yeah, I just set my camera up on a tripod at an ideal angle. And then I will usually shoot some POV from my phone or I'll have my phone set up from a second angle just to get more coverage. A lot of times you can have technical difficulties where like a battery will go dead or, you know, you get a phone call and it like, you know, stops the recording. So I find it's safer to shoot for more than one camera, but it's usually just me and the girl.
And then you just kind of, do you edit it into, like if you have 2 cameras, how do you do it? You do it yourself?
I usually don't edit it. I usually just have 2 takes of the same shot or the same scene. But sometimes you need to edit it together. Like if something happens where like the girl says something that's, you know, like, oh my God, hold on, I'm bleeding, you know, then usually you need to cut something like that out and edit it. But ideally, I don't try to edit at all. I try to just keep it raw and shoot all the way through.
So then you'll just upload like both angles?
Yeah, I usually will like release them at different times.
So what is the biggest challenges in the industry that you face? Like you could do even in the beginning or currently?
I would say honestly, if it's not the variety of girls you have to work with, because everyone has different personalities and you're not going to like everybody and not everyone's going to like you, I would say what you perform on. Like I've performed on a washing machine that was like too high for me to get up on, you know, and I'm like on my tippy toes and like barely able to get it in on my tippy toes. Or like I've been in the hot tub in the middle of the day and it's like 110 degrees outside. I'm like, why are we in a hot tub in 110 degree weather? You know, it's being able to perform in like on anything, you know, like against a tree, on a rock, you know, it's just, I prefer the comfort of a bed, you know, that's what I'm used to. So I'd say that's probably the hardest part.
But like, are the people in the industry pretty nice? I mean, not the actors and everything, but the, like all the agents and the managers and the camera people and the producers.
Yeah. Yeah. For the most part, I found the business to be a lot less abrasive and conniving than I expected it to be. You know, a lot of people think everyone's pimps and drug dealers and drug addicts, but like there's never drugs on set. Everyone's like super friendly. I've actually had more problems in mainstream dealing with asshole directors or shitty agents than I have in this line of business.
Yeah, I could see that actually.
Yeah, it seems like people are really open and accepting of everybody, you know, and you get your fair share of bad people, but I think you get that in anything.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So let's see, what other questions do I have? What is like, can you tell me a story about like something crazy? Did it like that happen? Like, I don't know, on the set or with a, I don't know, with an actor, you don't have to name who it is.
Okay, so I had the scene for Penthouse, and I was supposed to be working with this one girl, and I showed up, and we're like in the middle of nowhere in this house that has no air conditioning. It's the middle of summer, so I'm like already sweating, and I show up, and it's not the girl I was supposed to be working with. It was a completely different girl, and the only thing like they had in common was they were both black. Like they're completely two different girls, and so this girl was a new girl, and I think she'd never had someone of my size before. So she was like, I guess in pain, she wasn't really like accepting of the penetration. So she does this thing that I've heard called being a runner, where she like scoots away. So we'd start on like one end of the couch and she'd start scooching as we were like doing the scene. And then she would scooch to the other end of the couch. And then we'd have to cut and then move all the way back down. And that just like continued to happen through the scene, which was like very uncomfortable and, you know, embarrassing and awkward for me as well, you know, because I'm not trying to make anybody feel pain. So I kept losing my wood because of what was happening. So I kept having to go into the bathroom and get hard and then run back out and then get another like 5 minutes in before like I could tell that she was like unable to handle what was going on. And then I'd lose my wood, have to go back in the bathroom, get hard again. And that was like a 30 minute scene, ended up taking like an hour and a half.
That must be so crazy. Like, what do you, when you're trying to get hard, like, and like in a situation like that, and you're not super attracted or there's not really chemistry, like, what do you just like think of sexual things or do you try to like relax and like, what is your technique? Like when you are having, when you're just not feeling it?
You know, I usually just pretend it's you that's there. And
shut
I just
up. No, seriously.
Yeah, you just have to find like what makes you tick. And I think that's like a self-reflective thing, you know?
But it's not like nervous. Do you get nervous? Cause you're like, oh my, you never have had that feeling where you're like kind of nervous, like.
Yeah, I think everybody does. It's only human nature. You like start to ask questions like, what happens if I fail, you know? Like, if you can't stay hard, it's on you, you know, regardless of how the girl is acting. You know, it's the male talent's fault. So you get all those questions that run through your mind, but you just can't focus on that. You gotta let that slide and, you know, focus on something that turns you on, you know, whether it's something from the past or something that you hope to happen in the present or, you know, whatever your kinks are. Like, I have a weird kink for armpits.
Really?
That's yeah. Wrong. I don't know why, but I find like a very feminine woman's armpit sexy. Okay, there we go.
No, I do. There's something about armpits I do. I can kind of really see that, like, because it's so often underlooked. Like, I must, like, if I'm putting on lotion, I make sure to, actually, no, I don't always, but I do like the, like, massage them sometimes.
I think it has something to do with, like, the lymphatic system. Yeah. I can tell how healthy a girl is by, you know, how her armpits look in a way. And, like, I like the smell of a woman. So if, like, the girl smells funky, then, like, it's a turn off. But, like, if she smells like a woman, it's a turn on. Also, like, I've been turned on before, like, by pussy hair. You know, I find that to be a feminine thing. I don't really like it when girls completely shave it. You know, it's like you could trim the bushes, but don't scorch the earth, you know? So little things like that.
I feel like in porn, it's mostly shaved or waxed.
Yeah, well, I feel like maybe times have been changing. I haven't ran into a lot of that, but I'm just saying, like, every girl is different. Sometimes a girl will have, like, a unique feature, like some really, like, toned abs or, like, nipples that are different that I find attractive, or like something in her face, like her eyes or her lips or maybe freckles or something. I always try to dial into something that kind of pushes my buttons, and it just varies from girl to girl. It's like on a, you know, there's no rhyme or reason. I can't, like, really put it in a box for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. For me, the smell would be the number one thing. Like, that's always been a thing. Like, if there's a weird smell, like, I can't. I mean, I have, like, sometimes, but, like, what does that happen, or everyone takes?
Yeah. Every once in a while, but for the most part, girls in my business are pretty professional and they know how to have good hygiene. You know, I feel like that's kind of paramount in the business. Another common practice is douching. You know, like, girls will always douche before scenes just so there's no complications, you know, like nothing coming out, nothing that would ruin a take or, like, the male talent's focus. And then for anal, like, girls will, like, do a whole protocol for cleansing. Like, they don't eat for like 24 hours and then they do, like, douches for their butt just to keep any accidents from happening. So that's always good that you don't hardly run into those problems.
So what's your favorite type of scene? Like cream pie, threesomes, like, I don't know. Like,
yeah, I like boy girl cream pies that are romantic in nature. You know, I'm like not really into the whole sport fucking thing. I can do it, but I feel like there's like a passion that is either faked or lost. I'm more into like the romantic, tantra-like aspects of sex, like breathing together, eye contact, kissing, you know, chest to chest kind of stuff.
Do you have some that are more, some people call for more passionate and like, I don't know if I saw any like that from you totally, but like, yeah. It just looks more like real, like really, yeah. You know, and then you must have more chemistry with them hopefully as well.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of those scenes haven't been released for free online, so you probably haven't been looking for them specifically. I've been shooting for Erotic X lately, which is more like romantic themed.
Oh yeah, I like that one, like art, is it, maybe it is that, but I think it was art something, art, I can't remember, I don't remember.
And it seems like more so there's been, adult films that are tailored towards women and made by women for women. I feel like that's becoming a new genre and theme. So I'm hoping that continues to happen because that's kind of where my interests most lie in.
Nice. Yeah, I was thinking about maybe doing something, but I don't know if I'll ever do it, but I'm kind of like, it's now or never sort of. So we'll see if I do, but if I do, I'll probably contact you and let you know.
Okay, cool.
But, so, well, when you have scenes with other men, does that affect you or you're totally fine with it? Like, I mean, sometimes I feel it might be weird. I don't know.
It can be weird. It depends on like who the guys are. I know about all the guys in the business. So, and I'm friends with almost all of them. So that's a good thing. I feel like at first it was more awkward because I didn't know these guys, you know, and it's not something that I'm used to doing. So I feel like it's just something that after a certain amount of time and being on set, it becomes more natural. You're able to focus better. Because at first you're kind of like all over the place, you know? There's a lot of anxiety, there can be a lot of anxiety because of the pressure, you know, and the camera's rolling and everything that's happening is going to be recorded forever. But I've gotten better at it over time. I wouldn't say, you know, even adding girls, you know, threesomes and having like three girls at the same time, there's more moving parts. So there's more things to account for and it can be a little bit more nerve wracking, you know, which is kind of counterintuitive. You think, oh, more hot girls the merrier. But honestly, like sometimes the girls don't get along or, you know, some girls having a bad day. So there's a lot more variables. And I find the less variables, the easier the scene is, you know? So it's something that I've been getting better at, but I haven't really perfected yet. And I think that will just come with time and practice.
Right. I know what you mean. I think with anything, sometimes too many people can just cause more problems. Like even when I'm working with somebody for something, there's just more issues than if it was just me. But So I know you want to make a difference in the world and stuff. So what do you think that your more life purpose is, or have you thought about anything like that? Or,
you know, I think it's to spread love. I think there's something beautiful and natural about the type of business that I do. So I see in the future me taking more control over what I'm producing on a more on a larger scale. I would like to write, direct, produce. I feel like through performing I've been able to learn the ins and outs more so than I would otherwise. So I've been kind of trying to pick up from technical aspects to, you know, performance aspects, what it would take for me to start to completely control and produce my own content, you know? So,
so you think that it's going to relate to something with the adult film, or do you think it's going to be maybe something that you do out of the industry or after, or
probably in the industry? You know, I wouldn't say that there's no chance of me doing something outside the industry, but I find that I am the best at something when I fully focus on it. And so right now this is my focus and I'm all in.
Do you feel like you're going to, have you ever thought about like when you'll stop, or you think you could do this for a long time? Like,
yeah, I think I can probably perform until I'm like 65.
That's crazy. You probably can. So do you think that like it pays well? Are you happy with that? Or do you think you'll be able to make more later, or how's that the?
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing all right. I would like to be better off than I am, but I'm still pretty new. I'm only 2 years in. And so I find that when I can start having a larger following and more brand awareness, and I continue to improve on my performance, and when I also can control what's happening behind the camera in terms of direction, production, I find that my revenue will increase through that. But I'm doing pretty good so far.
I mean, yeah, because it's probably like really being known, because then people will pay more when they really are into you, instead of just, because I mean, obviously there's so much free porn. So it's like how it makes it a little challenging, the industry, everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be challenging, but most of the free porn isn't as good as the porn you pay for. So I find that, you know, this is something that will always be valuable and useful in our society. I don't see robots, you know, taking my job.
Well, what if you, I think maybe like, what if you showed more of you, like the real you, like right now, how you look, and you know, like on your Instagram, because I feel that on your Instagram, it's mostly like porn style stuff. And I feel people might really want to get to know you as a person, and then they can really become fans of you for multi reasons.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I honestly, I'm so busy doing other things. I don't put much thought or time into social media. You know, it's like a necessary evil to me. I'm more concerned about being present in real life than being present on a platform that exists in the ether, you know? Like, I'm busy doing things in a day-to-day business with people face-to-face, as opposed to doing things online, you know, typing messages and emails. I don't keep up that much with messaging with people through, like, my OnlyFans platform or through my Instagram or my Twitter, because I find that detrimental to the actual life that I'm living here and now. So that's something I've kind of learned through yoga too. And I find that I'm happier when I'm living here and now, and I'm like functioning physically instead of mentally on some sort of, you know, platform through the internet.
Yeah, no, it's, I'm definitely happier when I'm on the computer and the phone less. So let's talk about, so I know you have a new current girlfriend. So tell me about that. And yeah, so she's also in the industry.
Yeah, we actually met on Twitter, and believe it was October. No, we started dating in October. I think we met almost a year ago now. And we started kind of like shooting together, and we went out to the beach on Labor Day with some friends, and I just always enjoyed being around her. She's like, she's a really awesome person. She's really kind and like a loving, good girl. You know, I start taking around all my different sets of friends, and all my friends liked her. You know, I took her home to meet my mom for Christmas, and my mom liked her. And she just like makes my life better. So, you know, I just kind of take it one day at a time and try not to, you know, think too far ahead in the future, get caught up in something that, you know, would be detrimental to my current situation.
Well, is it so much easier that she's also in the industry? Because I feel like dating somebody who's not would be, it might be weird.
Yeah, probably. I wasn't actually trying to have a girlfriend. You know, I figured through this industry, I would have those physical needs met by the other sex, and it wasn't necessary for me to have a girlfriend. So the fact that I have one right now is kind of a miracle in itself. But it just, that's funny. It's just kind of the way life happens. Like, I enjoy being around her, and she is accepting of what I do, and I am accepting what she does, and we work together, and she's into girls, you know, so we work with a lot of girls, you know. She's like, she says she's a full-blown lesbian, but she just likes me, so that's kind of cool that it works that way. Yeah, so it's been pretty good so far. I'm really happy with my life, and I feel blessed.
That's so good. Aw, well, so, no, that's so, I'm so glad that you found somebody. It's definitely not the easiest thing to do for everybody. What advice would you give to somebody who wants to get into the industry? I guess male or female, but I think more male, I feel, because you're a male, so you would know more.
Yeah, I think it's probably good to start filming yourself and getting used to being on the in front of the camera. And I feel like doing a lot of research is important, taking care of yourself, developing good habits. I don't feel like you can really do drugs or alcohol and be successful in this business. There's just it's so much focus and physical prowess to it that I don't feel like you can really fuck around with your diet or with, you know, your body if you want to be successful, because the body is the instrument that we use in this business. So I would say, like, you know, learn nutrition and develop exercise habits. And yoga has always been a good thing for me mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, you know, and just like start practicing and see how you feel about it. You know, find someone that is cool with you videotaping, and, you know, try to different camera angles and lighting, and just, you know, try to educate yourself as much as you can before you jump into it. Because, like, once you go into it, you know, it's it can either be a blessing or a curse.
Do people recognize you a lot? Because I remember in the class, one of our other friends from the class recognized you. And I'm like, you must watch a lot of porn or something. But no, he recognized you. So do people recognize you? Or maybe they do and they wouldn't say anything.
Yeah, Well, I have 67 million views on Pornhub. So since I've been on Pornhub, I've been averaging at least 100,000 views a day, every day, like clockwork. So I think probably more people recognize me than I realize, but I'm kind of oblivious to that. I always have been. Like in college, my friends would be like, yo, those girls are checking you out. And I'd be like, what are you talking about? You know, I think I'm so caught up like in my own world that I'm not aware of those kind of things as much as I could be, you know? So, I mean, it happens from time to time, but probably not as much as you'd expect.
Oh, I know. That's how I feel. Like it happens from time to time for me that people recognize me, but it's not like that much. But yeah.
And also like I'm always changing my look. I think it's like the actor in me, you know, like when I first started, I had, you know, a high fade and a beard, and then I shaved the beard and I dyed my hair blonde, and then I like buzzed my hair, and then I grew the beard back and now my hair is long. So I think that also kind of throws people off, because the stuff that you're seeing online is stuff that I've already shot a long time ago. So by the time you see me in real life, my look's different.
Yeah, I'm feeling this look for you. How long is your hair? I want to see.
It's super long. It's like,
oh, cool.
It's like Jon Snow down to my shoulders long.
No. Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's super curly. So I feel like it's an extension of my nervous system. It gives me like a better like energy, chi.
Yeah, I love it. I like
balance, kind of like, you know, a cat has whiskers. This like helps me stay centered.
Nice. No, it's cute. I like this like tied back look for you, because cool. Your hair's super curly and it's just so like a curly. Completely different look.
Yeah.
So let's, I guess, I can't think, what else do I want to say? I mean, do you ever feel like worn out, like, you know what I mean, because there's definitely the energetics going on, and you know, you could be dealing with some girls that are kind, you know, because even though guys can't really be on too many drugs, girls can, and they mm-hmm. can be on medications and things and having issues, and I mean guys can too, but I'm just saying, like, do you ever feel like you're carrying around like some heavy energy, and what do you do to, if you notice it, and to cleanse it, or, you know, do you notice it?
Well, I think it's more like when I'm performing every day, day in and day out, you know, I feel like that could take its toll on me physically, you know, like it strains your lower back and your hips, and you can just feel depleted, and just having sex with a different girl every day for like a couple weeks in a row, you know, you're like, man, you get a little desensitized to it. So I feel like that's another one of the secrets to being a successful male adult film actor, is being able to have a good performance every day, you know, because some days you don't feel like it. Some days you might feel a little sick. Some days you might be a little hurt. But, you know, you have to find a way to make it through the scene. I feel like that's what separates the good from the great, because anyone can have a good day on set, but having a good day every day is kind of the secret to success.
So do you meditate?
Yeah, not as much as I should, but I'm going to start trying to implement it more. I feel like my meditation is my work in a lot of ways, because, you know, Osho, he says it's not when you go to a church and pray or meditate, it's when like a street sweeper sweeps the streets. That's his meditation. That's his prayer. You know, and I feel like this is my meditation and prayer. So I can like have those like ethereal out of body experiences when like all the bells are clicking and when, you know, everything is aligned. But I also have found that like by meditating, I can kind of lower my sense of sensation. You know, because like if you're always going, if you're like going at 100 miles in your car, it's hard for you to go any faster. But if you're like able to bring the metabolic rate down to like, you know, 40, then you can ramp up to 100, and there's that, you know, change. But if you're always running at a high level, it's hard to go that much higher. So I find that that's probably a lot of the times I get burned out, is when I'm going at 100 miles an hour all the time. If I can take the time to, you know, lower myself down to a more calm state, then it kind of serves me in a way.
So, but do you think you have sex differently if in on camera than with like your girlfriend, for example?
Yes.
So it's more like intentional with your girlfriend, and it's more, or do you put intention also into the work that you're doing? Or what's
Well, I feel like because I don't have to open up to camera and I don't have to do certain positions and I don't have a bunch of people watching me that are kind of like, sometimes the director can be really like into you doing certain positions in a certain order and stuff, you know, and you're kind of not running the show. I feel like that can kind of take away some of the connection, you know, so I don't have to deal with those things in my personal life. And that's kind of what makes it different when you're on set, you know, because like, honestly, like how many times at home with the lights off or, you know, with, you're with a guy, do you do reverse cowgirl, you know? Is that like a position that
you're asking me?
I'm just saying, like,
what, I don't mind it. I like it. Oh, I'm not celibate anymore either. I finally did it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Good.
Excited. I know. It's
I
like,
love that for you.
I know. It took it like, it just had to be the right situation. But yeah. Sorry. But keep, no, I know what you're saying. Yeah. No. So it's definitely, but I guess like, I'm just thinking if there's a way that you could put more intention into the scenes, but it's just such a crazy industry. I wouldn't really know how to say to do that. Cause it's like, you know,
I find usually like the less I think about it and just do it, the better it turns out. I feel like when I get into my head and I start trying to plan stuff out or I'm like judging what's happening, I feel I start to be disconnected from the present moment.
Do you think that it's made you a better not just performer, but lover in general, like since you've been doing this, or were you always, you think you are? Like just, 100%. Do you have any like tricks? Like you just picked up different things?
All kinds of little things.
Like, can you tell us some?
Let's see. All right, so I have some pretty effective techniques that I've learned about going down on a girl that I implement in my normal life. And I get a lot of good reviews about. Also, I just think like being able to read biofeedback. It's like you have to have another level of emotional intelligence and be more aware of what's going on. Whereas when I was younger and, you know, I was just kind of like doing it, I didn't have the awareness of like if the girl was hurting as much as I do now, or if she was enjoying it as much as I do now, or like, you know, some girls are better on top, and the actual biomechanics work better in certain positions depending on the way my curve works and like her insides are built on an anatomic level. Mm-hmm. I also think like I'm more calm because I've had these experiences on set, you know, for these past couple of years, that people don't make me as nervous as they used to, you know, because like at the end of the day, I keep the lights on by coming on a girl's face in front of a group of clothed men, you know? So it's like, what am I going to encounter in real life that's going to make me feel uncomfortable and anxious, you know, after you go through something like that? Or it's like when you first start, you have to do these things called blow bangs, where it will be like 8-10 guys in a circle and one girl. And you're all expected to get blown by this girl and everybody come on her face. And that's something that's kind of a natural, but after you go through these experiences, you're like, wow, you know, normal stuff doesn't have the same sort of anxiety ridden effects on you, you know? So I feel like having a better sense of calm has made me a better lover.
What's the tip for the going down on a girl? Because I'm sure people want to know.
Oh, man. You want me to give away some secrets, huh?
Let's give away at least one. I already know. It's definitely the upper left quadrant.
Well, I have a patented move that I do with my lips and my tongue that I'm not going to tell anyone about.
Okay.
That's my secret. But I've found that suction is a very useful thing to do when you're going down on a girl. It's something I kind of overlooked prior. I feel like by creating a vacuum with my lips, sucking out the clit and stimulating it that way, I get a lot of positive feedback.
But like, do you suck hard or like more gentle?
Depends on the girl. You know, that's something you just kind of got to feel out because everybody's different. Some girls are a little bit more into things like choke me. You know, I was never really big on stuff like that before the business, but you know, because I don't want to get off on killing someone. That's not really like the way I was raised. But when I think of it in terms like by putting my hands on her throat, I am giving her pleasure, I'm able to wrap my mind around it in a different way. And so it's not so unnatural to me now.
So do you think that by having sex with all these women, some of them are definitely really beautiful, some of them are, it's a mixed bag with you that I've seen, but I mean, I think everyone's beautiful, but anyway, do you think it's affected your sex life in just off camera? Not that you have a girlfriend, but before, you know, like, could you just meet someone and have casual sex, or are you just like drained?
Yes, I could, but there wasn't such a need anymore. You know, it's like, in a way, I think of it as being kind of like a lion at the zoo and you're fed every day. You're not so impelled to hunt, you know? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you might hunt just for the fun of it, but it's not like a need like you had in the wild. So I feel like that's probably the best analogy I could come up with.
That's a good analogy, actually. But I mean, so yeah, I think for you, having the relationship is probably so good for you because you're really getting that connection and that extra love.
And what I've found is that like physical chemistry trumps physical attraction every time. I've gone into scenes and I'm like, I've always wanted to work with this girl. I think she's so hot. And like the chemistry wasn't there. And then I've gone into scenes and been like, oh, this might be a tough day. And then the girl was like this amazing human. And we just had this like spark that was like, you know, uncanny that you couldn't account for. So that's something that's interesting that I found, that can't always judge a book by its cover.
Yeah, you've definitely been able to experience like that. I mean, so are the girls like mostly, do you think that they're pretty, what percentage around do you think that they're either authentic or kind of just faking it or acting the whole thing? I mean, are you acting it in most of the stuff? Like, I feel like you have to get into it to some degree. What percent do you think is acting versus real?
I'd probably say it's like 60-40. I would say like 60% of the time, upwards of 70% of the time, I'm not acting. And I would say probably 60% of the time, they are acting.
So it's a reverse,
yeah.
Okay.
And I find that like usually the older the girl is, the less she's acting and the more she's into it. But I find the younger the girl is, the less like life experience she has, the more anxiety the whole thing is. And I feel like that's usually the more that she's acting. And especially the girls that get really famous at a young age, I feel like it's hard for undeveloped mind to handle the ins and outs of being like worshiped by men all the time. You know, I feel like that can really affect you in a negative way and change your personality. So I find really it seems like the most successful and the most enjoyable girls to work with are the ones that have kind of overcome that temptation in a way, and they've learned to kind of keep themselves and not get caught up in the fame or, you know, the glory of this line of work. And they're more like, you know, people that value things like that are kind of, you know, old school traditional values like family and, you know, love instead of like possessions.
Cool. So, but do you think that, so you like it better when there it's more like that you, they aren't acting, like you like it when it's,
yes. More,
yeah, obviously, I guess, but
yes.
That must be interesting because the acting part could be, I can't really fake it too much, yeah. But I, yeah.
And it's funny because like when you're there, I don't know how it looks on camera, but I can always tell. I can always tell when the girl's like really into it, and I can always tell when she's faking. Like she's never fooling me, you know? And sometimes it can throw you off. You'd be like, this girl is completely faking it. Like this is not how it's supposed to work. I've done this enough now that you know how a girl's real response is.
Yeah, their body, so. Right? Because if it's really tight, that means they're probably into it. If they're just like opening it and then just letting you do it, it's probably they're just like trying to just go with it.
Yeah, it's like there's this biofeedback energy that you get. The girl is either accepting or she's like resisting, you know? And that's kind of where you have to, you know, if she's resisting, you kind of got to go into a place that keeps you into it, you know? And that's where I find that I'm acting. Like, if the girl's acting and, like, she's, I can tell she's just there to get a paycheck, then I kind of got to, like, think about something that's going to keep me going, you know? And that's where I start acting. And I feel like that's kind of where, you know, my acting background has kind of served me, because I have that experience.
Yeah, that's interesting. It is to have to deal with that many different people. I mean, you must learn. I mean, you would definitely learn a lot through it, and hopefully use that for something better, you know, for, so, I wanted to close it out, but thanks so much for being here. I want to give your handles. So he has, his Twitter is twitter.com/BradNewmanXXX. And then his Pornhub is pornhub.com/pornstar/Brad-Newman. And his OnlyFans is onlyfans.com/Brad Newman, and his IG is The Real Brad Newman. So thank you so much. I mean, I want to get maybe more into some of the energetics of it at another time, but thanks so much for being here and talking with me about this.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. It was great to see you, and you know, just hit me up whenever you want.
Okay, you're watching The Moon Meets an Experience. Thank you for listening and tuning in.